Today is Saturday, April 13th, 2002. We are in the Union Building on the campus of Michigan State University. I am Frank Minista interviewing Christopher Jackson. This interview is part of the MSU Sesquicentennial Oral History Project, commemorating the 150th anniversary of the university, coming up in 2005. Christopher Jackson is here on campus this weekend attending the first reunion of the Alumni Distinguished Scholars Program and recognizing the founding of the Honors College in 1956. You can see that we are recording for this session. Do you give me permission to tape this interview?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, let's start with a little bit about your family background. Where were you born and raised, and where did you go to school before college?
So I was actually born in Warwick, Rhode Island. My father was in the Navy and was at some sort of naval air station somewhere near there. Mm-hmm. But I think something like 2 months or two weeks or so after I was born, my parents actually moved back to Detroit, which is where they had both been born and grew up. And I lived there until I was something like seven. And then my parents moved to Traverse City, Michigan. And I basically grew up, I sort of consider that my hometown. That's certainly where I would tell people I grew up. So,
mm-hmm.
And I went to the public school system there. I went to Traverse City Senior High School before I came to Michigan State.
Okay. Where in Detroit did they live? Where did you live for those 2 weeks?
So in Detroit, I think they lived in various places. When I was old enough to remember, to like sort of know things like what my address was, we lived in Warren. And I think they actually lived some other places in Detroit before then. I don't know enough about Detroit to be able to tell you mm-hmm. where things are, but like my grandmother, for instance, my father's mother used to live actually in the city itself,
mm-hmm.
until she got substantially older and moved out to the suburbs. But I think that's where they were born and grew up.
Okay. Who would you say had the greatest influence encouraging you to go on to higher education?
That's an interesting question. I guess it's sort of interesting. We had a woman who spoke earlier this morning about how actually getting the Alumni Distinguished Scholarship had been a very big change in her life, because it wasn't a family where people expected to go to college,
uh-huh.
and she was really, really very happy she was able to go. And I guess my family and certainly kind of my experience was sort of different. It was sort of like, it was kind of what you were probably going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, I did well in school. I certainly always just sort of assumed that that's probably what I would be doing. So I don't know that I'd point out anyone in particular. Certainly my parents were both, got multiple degrees. My father was a school psychologist, and my mother was a nurse, and then later on became a instructor of nursing and ended up being executive management at a hospital running uh-huh. their nursing department. So they were certainly professional and highly educated, and it was sort of kind of assumed, I guess, that their children would do that as well.
Okay. And did you study? I noticed that you worked for Sun Microsystems. Did you mm-hmm. study computer technology? Did you? What were your studies here at MSU?
Yeah, I did. I actually had... it was interesting because I actually did a lot of... sort of study before I even got here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a community college in Traverse City, Northwestern Michigan College, which is actually where my mother taught for some time. And I actually took a bunch of their classes.
Uh-huh.
I think I took my first class when I was in the eighth grade.
Really?
So basically I had actually done a lot of that before I even got here. So I did study. I was a computer science major. That's what my degree is in.
Mm-hmm.
But I was pretty much... I took, the first year I was here, I actually took the third year sequence that you would normally take as a major.
Mm-hmm.
And the second year I took the fourth year sequence, so I was sort of done with stuff really early. So actually I was, for quite some time, I was a dual major in that and linguistics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I ended up not actually finishing that. So one of my computer science minors is linguistics, so I didn't have enough to actually get a degree.
Uh-huh.
For a number of reasons, one of which was the fact that I did not get along with my Russian professors. But that was one of the requirements. You had to have three or four years, I think, of a foreign language to get a linguistics degree. And it's sort of, I had a lot of trouble with that, so I was not able to finish. But
okay. Why did you consider Michigan State?
I mean, a number of reasons. It's sort of interesting. It was kind of interesting talking to folks yesterday, people talking about how they had been, you know, they were considering all these other fantastic, colleges with large reputations, and then they decided mm-hmm. to come to Michigan State. I only applied three places. I applied here, I applied at U of M, and I applied at MIT.
Uh-huh.
And certainly looking at the time, kind of looking at the programs, looking at sort of, what sort of classes did they offer in, mm-hmm. in your major. Certainly MIT is one of the leading schools in the country for that sort of thing. Looking at U of M, their program wasn't honestly really as good. You looked mm-hmm. at sort of the number of classes you would take and what you would learn in them. It's like it didn't really seem as impressive as what Michigan State had. I was also somewhat familiar with Michigan State. I was actually here sort of a couple of years earlier. They have, I don't know if they still have this, thing called the High School Honor Science Program.
Yes, they do.
They still have that?
Mm-hmm.
So where they have, students from high schools come in, it's sort of like summer camp for scientists. It's 6 or 8 weeks or something like that, and basically you're here, you live in a dormitory. Uh-huh. I'm saying this present tense, so I'm not sure if they still do this or not.
But yeah, I'm not sure if they do it quite like that.
Yeah, you were here, you were in a dormitory, and you basically were assigned to a professor, and you actually worked on research in uh-huh. that professor's laboratory over the summer. And that was actually a really interesting experience. I mean, actually, the guy I worked for is actually here, because he's actually an ADS scholar. He's actually present at the reunion.
Oh, really?
Eric Goodman, who's actually now the director of the Case Center for Computer-Aided Engineering. But that was kind of the first time I'd really been away from home,
mm-hmm.
and so I got to basically experience the campus, and you rode around, and you had a lot of freedom, and that was so. I certainly kind of already thought MSU was a cool place at that point.
Sure.
So I was certainly interested in coming mm-hmm. here, and then, so like I said, looking at the programs, I sort of thought MSU was really a better place to go than U of M.
Mm-hmm.
Even I, like a lot of my friends, had gone to U of M. I went down and visited some people I knew from the previous year who were freshmen and sort mm-hmm. of checked the place out and things like that. But it actually came down to when I actually got the scholarship. Mm-hmm. It was at that point, it was okay, well, I can decide to accept this, or I actually had not heard from MIT at that point. But we had already kind of figured out that basically the only way for me to afford to be able to go there
uh-huh.
was I applied for a Naval ROTC scholarship, which mm-hmm. I had actually gotten. So it was like, okay, I can go to MSU for free, or I can go to MIT at the cost of basically having to be in the Navy for 5 or 6 years afterwards.
Right.
And it was like, well, it's probably a little better. I'm not sure it's that much better.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned out it was a really wise move to come here, because it turned out I didn't actually get into MIT. So it was like whoa, there was a great decision. So like I said, I think kind of familiarity with the institution, sort of,
uh-huh.
Certainly all the people I'd ever dealt with here were very nice. It was like, when I was here for the summer, it was just a cool environment. So.
Cordial and friendly.
Yeah, no, very definitely.
What years were you here?
So I started in 82
okay.
and graduated in, I think I actually graduated in August of 86.
In 86, okay.
I actually was sort of done in May, but I was finishing up an incomplete or something, so I think my diploma says August, but
okay.
So the standard kind of four-year thing.
Were there any other things that you remember about that first visit, either the first time you came here as uh-huh. an actual student or during that summer that you were here?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what would be interesting, what stands out. I mean, but certainly for that, when I was here initially for the summer, like I said, the cool thing was just that you were really kind of treated as basically someone who could contribute, someone who was a productive person,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you weren't just there to learn stuff, you were actually there to do sort of find something out
sure.
produce something. The project I actually worked on was basically writing some computer programs to do analysis and graphs and some other stuff of data from some experiments they had been doing in orchards.
Uh-huh.
I think it was something to do, I can't remember all the details anymore, but I believe it was sort of studying pesticides and how they had, sort of they measured levels and figured out which ones went away and which ones didn't and which mm-hmm. ones actually had good results. and I was in charge of actually writing these programs that at that point, basically to make graphics, you had to sort of write these programs that printed things on this fantastically expensive printer plotter, which was hidden somewhere in the computer center. So you sort of went and wrote these programs, and then like you know, basically you rode your bicycle over to the computer center and went to the IO window, and they said, hey, I'm here to get job number so-and-so, and they would give you these graphs, which it turned out you'd say, well, okay, you know, you screwed up and all the things were in the wrong place on the paper, you know. But these were things that I believe were actually eventually used in, you know, sort of diagrams in papers that, you know, professors were writing about this particular project. So, but that was cool to see. Basically, it was kind of the first time that you were like, sort of, you were producing something interesting, you know. So that was really
interesting. Yeah, participating in it.
Yeah.
All. Sure. Well, what was the university like when you were here as an undergraduate? What were the students like? What was the campus like in the early 80s, mid-80s?
Mm-hmm. I guess on sort of with respect to what? On what sort of axis? I mean, anything in...
Well, a lot of people that we've interviewed who were here in the 60s talk a bit about the radicalism that was present.
Yeah, and certainly that wasn't...
getting financial cutbacks and things like
that.
That
really didn't... I guess I certainly don't remember that being a big factor. And I don't recall there being... It's sort of interesting, I think, people like in my generation, sometimes they're unhappy. Well, gosh, you know, all these people in the 60s had causes and they had kind of a theme to... You know, and I didn't necessarily feel that way. It was, I mean, it was a very nice time, I thought. Mm-hmm. It was not something where you kind of worried a whole lot about issues that were not related to, say, what you were doing in school, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I think certainly in the 60s, people were very concerned about other stuff.
Sure.
You know, I think certainly when I was here, I and the people, you know, for instance, who lived in the dorm with me and stuff, we're concentrated on school. We're also, you know, obviously having fun and other things like that. But it wasn't kind of outwardly focused. It was kind of sort of locally focused. You know, you were really more concerned about what was going on around here as opposed to what was going on other places in the world, for instance.
Okay. Any kind of involvement with the larger community in East Lansing that you remember, or... pretty much kept to your studies. I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, well, there were certainly other things besides studying that that we did and that I did. It was interesting. So certainly one of the things which I think might be different than some people is when I sort of think about my time here, I don't necessarily think about, gosh, I took all these great classes, I met all these, you know, great people, learned all this stuff, and I certainly did do that. But I think one of the most interesting things, or kind of the thing that was sort of coolest here, was I actually sort of had a job most of the time I was here.
Okay.
Actually, there was a so the very very early on when I started here, and I was in. So I had started in these third year computer science classes.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something that was posted, basically tryouts for the MSU computer programming team.
Really?
And I actually signed up for that, and I was in the tryouts, and actually was on the team. It was sort of a competitive thing. A team, at that time at least, the team was composed of four people, and there were certainly more people than that who wanted to be involved. So the coach of the team, who was Dick Reed in the computer science department, basically had tryouts and had sort of basically kind of simulated, they basically had examples of the sort of thing you would do in the real competitions, and he sort of tested people on these and picked the best people.
Okay.
And I was actually lucky enough to be on the team for 3 years. But sort of, so I, knowing him, I actually sort of, I don't think November or something, my first year said, hey, you know, I'd actually like to, you know, I would like to get a job and work. I would like to actually do something kind of related to my field. And he referred me to a friend of his in the biochemistry department who actually ran the, or it was part of a, you know, team of professors who were in charge of the mass spectrometry facility.
Oh, okay.
In the biochemistry department, which was sort of an area where they actually used a lot of students to do programming and other sorts of, you know, basically computer-related stuff. And so I started working my first year and basically worked for biochemistry that year and the next year and the year after that, including the two summers. So this was basically sort of, you know, I never went home again after I came to MSU, you know, but some people go home and work in the summer.
Right.
I have a job here.
Your parents lost their son.
Right, exactly, yeah. And then my final year here, I actually moved. I went and worked for another department. I worked for the what at that time was the Case Center for, actually it was the Engineering Computer Facility, and then it eventually turned into what is now the Case Center for Computer Aided Engineering. But that was actually a really cool experience because, again, you were really sort of treated as more of an adult, especially later on. You know, basically the people that you worked with in your job were kind of another set of people you interacted with, and as long, in addition to like the people in the dorm or the other students in your classes or other stuff. And you certainly learned a lot of things about, you know, how the world worked in that sense. But like I said, you were just sort of treated as a, like a real person and not like a student.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, an equal.
Which was really, that was kind of like when you really started feeling like an adult when you were doing that sort of thing. So that was, I thought that was actually a very important part of my experience here. And it's not, I'm sure it's not something the university is going to go sell to people, hey, come here so you can get a job, you know. But it was very, very beneficial, I think. I think I certainly benefited later on in my career from learning, you know, a lot of stuff that some people, I think, don't learn until they graduate from school and go get their first real job. So
that's good practical education.
Well, and it's also, you know, it was certainly, for instance, you know, I was pretty sure that was what I wanted to do, and that was a way to really finding out for sure that, okay, do you really want to do this for a living, or
definitely,
or is it something that's interesting in the classroom and it turns out you wouldn't really want to do it, you know, which I think some people find out. Too late. Oh gosh, you know, I thought I really wanted to do X, and no, it's really not that fun to get and do that for 40 hours a week, you know. So
that's good that you, yeah, exactly. Good practical land grant.
Yeah.
Sounds like something they would really want to.
I don't know. Like I said, I mean, in some sense, maybe I would have been better off, you know, studying more as opposed to working. But like eventually, I actually. Like I said, I finished sort of most of my computer science classes after 2 years. I had, I don't know, 4 or 5 other ones that you had to take. And there were certainly times where I, you know, really kind of neglected my studies in preference of sort of doing stuff at work that was more fun, you know. I have a sort of number of sort of poor grades in various humanities classes, which I can directly attribute to the fact that I thought it was more cool to go write some program than it was to actually study art history or something, you know. So, but overall, I think it worked out pretty well.
Well, that's good. You mentioned Dick Reed and a couple of other professors. Would you say that they had the most significant influence on you, or were there other professors that you felt had more of an impact on your choice and your continuation in this area, or your progress?
Certainly, I mean, Dick Reed was really a cool guy. I was very happy to know him. He was very. It's interesting. He was the cause of actually the first time I actually gave money to the university, because he retired I think year before last, and they actually started a fund to fund the Dick Reed scholarship, you know, in the computer science department. I actually sent them some money for that because I actually really appreciated what he had done for me. But yeah, there were a lot of he was cool. I said the guy who Jack Holland was actually the guy in biochemistry who I ended up working for, who was like a really neat guy. Who really spent, I think this, maybe this is sort of common, I think, you know, unlike kind of the real world, certainly people who work at universities are not really well paid, for instance, and there's, I think, kind of to make up for that, people go maybe kind of do more things to try and promote sort of like a collegial sort of family sort of atmosphere among like, you know, their research groups or their labs or whatever. So he was very big on, you know, helping people out. He had parties at his house and stuff. He would invite all the people in the lab too. That were always a lot of fun.
Yeah, that makes a big difference.
He actually had sort of consulting contracts with other with companies. For instance, he consulted for Detroit Edison, for instance. And like he would actually sort of get some of the people who worked for him to sort of basically hire out as consultants to these other people. I spent some time going, you know, driving down to Detroit and helping people at Detroit Edison with computer problems.
That's
you know, because they use the same sorts of systems that we use in the lab, so I knew about them. And like, you know, Jack knew so and so down there. Said, hey, well, we'll send one of our people down there and he'll help you out. And that was really cool. So, I think the people that I would point out. And like I said, not to say that I didn't have a lot of good classes and have a lot of good instructors, you know, but I think those are the people I kind of think of as like the people I worked for and stuff when I was here. So.
Right, the biggest impact.
Yeah.
What about the presidents? Did you have, I believe you were probably here with Cecil Mackey and John DiBiagio. Did you have any contact with either of those presidents during the time that you were here?
Not personally, although there's certainly other people. I really need to go and sort of go to my basement, and I have some boxes of old stuff from college. Because I kind of remember, forget the names of some of these things, but I was actually on some like departmental committees. I was on the, there's sort of, you know, there's like the kind of the official student government, and then there's kind of like, there's sort of a separate thing which is sort of, it's kind of like parallel to the Faculty Senate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a set of students who actually basically participate in some of those decisions. I was actually a member of that. So for instance, like I knew like the dean of the School of Engineering, like the assistant deans and stuff like that. And there were some other kind of, you know, university-wide sort of committees and things that, that I helped out with. So some administrators, for instance, I had met. I don't know that I ever met any of the presidents.
Not even after you graduated?
No, I don't think so. It was interesting. I certainly, I remember, you know, you sort of knew who was there and what they were doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, especially like DiBiagio, for instance, I think was really widely regarded as somebody who did a lot of positive things for the university.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly while I was there, it was like he really sort of seemed to be somebody who really cared about the place and really you know, had like innovative ideas,
mm-hmm.
you know, and really helped, I think, improve things. So, but no, I can't say I met any of those folks personally and did anything with them.
Yeah, it's hard to meet them.
Yeah.
University of this size.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. How many faculty are there here?
I don't think
it's hard for you guys even to sort of ever have a lot of interaction with folks like
even
that.
Yeah, even some of the larger departments, you never actually end up meeting everyone.
Yeah.
So. What about, you had mentioned you were on those committees and the Faculty Senate or something key to it, but were you involved in any other extracurricular activities, sports or anything else like that?
So I was on the computer programming team for 3 years.
And got that.
Right. So that, and that was actually, it was sort of interesting. It was like I was on the first 2 years, and then the third year, the Association for Computing Machinery, which really runs the contest, basically decreed that you couldn't go to the nationals more than twice.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, individual people could not. So I was on the team, and we went to the regionals and got us into the nationals, and then I didn't get to go because I wasn't there. And then the last year, we actually held the local regional was actually held here. And I actually, with another guy, I was sort of like the student chairman of sort of getting all that running and doing all the arrangements and doing all the planning. We did things like, you know, we sort of talked to professors to actually get them to write problems for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually were responsible for writing the official solutions. Because one of the things you do is, the way the thing works is you have like 4 hours or 6 hours, and you get four or six programs you have to write. And they basically say, we're going to give you this data, you need to write a program that's going to produce this output. You don't ever get to see the input.
Uh-huh.
So basically you have to think of every possible thing that could happen and make sure that your program behaves properly in all those situations. You submit the program, they run the output, and they'll say, okay, yes, it worked, you're done with this one, or, well, no, it doesn't, you have to go back and fix something, and you're actually scored on basically the speed it takes you to do all these.
Okay.
But one of the things you do is actually, like, when all the people leave, you have to give them, okay, here's all the data that we really use, here's the official solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like one of the things we did as part of this, we wrote the solutions. So we actually got to see all the problems before the people in the contest did, and we actually made sure that we knew how to solve them properly. That was a cool experience. We actually had to basically go talk to the director of the computer laboratory and basically get him to allocate us this massive amount of, you know, sort of fake computer money.
Uh-huh.
You know, at that time, we really didn't have, you know, sort of individual computer labs with, you know, sort of PCs in them. We had this big, massive central computer usage for which, you know, basically the time on that was billed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it cost you some number of, you know, cents a minute to actually be connected to the computer. So we had to get him to pony up all the fake money that we could use to have 30-odd teams all connected to this thing for 6 hours working on their problems. And we dealt with the other guy who worked on this with me, a guy named Duncan Clark, went and negotiated with the folks at the Kellogg Center to have the luncheon and sort of, you know, get the rate down to where the department could afford it, you know, and we figured out what we were going to hand out to people and how we were going to, you know, we reserved all these big, you know, reserved like this, one of this, I think this really gigantic lecture hall in Wells Hall to sort of mm-hmm. have, is where basically everyone came in the morning. We told them what the ground rules were and how to do it. And then everything, I think we had all these, they had all these computer sort of terminal rooms in Bessie Hall where we actually had the contests, and we had, uh-huh. we got everybody over there and we did that. So that was a really, that was sort of a kind of a massive extracurricular activity.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I'm not sure I can think of anything else besides that.
Okay.
But, and like I said, certainly since I was working, I didn't have as much time as I think some people have
right.
for some of that sort of thing.
Yeah, your time was.
Yeah, we did things like intramural athletics. You know, mm-hmm. we had like the I Am Soccer, for instance.
Yeah,
you know, my floor had a soccer team. I was on that. But
that's good. Well, would that stand out in terms of what you've just been describing? Would that have been one of the most important things that you experienced here, or were any others stand out? Kind of hard to look back and turn 4 years into one.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to say, okay, what was the most important thing? I mean, there's lots of personal things, too. I mean, you sort of think about your career and your education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you met nice people, you know. I sort of had girlfriends and got dumped, which is probably kind of eventually kind of important to kind of your emotional development, you know. So, but those are certainly a lot of the stuff I think I've been talking about have been kind of highlights of my time here. So,
okay, well, I would like to thank you on behalf of the project for your time and sharing your insights.
I hope that there's something useful in all of this.
Oh,
stuff,
of course, so. Definitely. Institutional memories are uh-huh. always important. All right, well, thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you.